Hey, Richard.
Hello, Irma. How you doing?
Good. Are you the only one? Well, I guess I'm assuming Mark is on too.
There's two participants. Here
Oh,
we go.
okay. There we go. Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Let me just shut the light for a little bit. Hold on. Hi. Hey,
Hi, this is Bill.
Bill. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good.
So let's see. It's Mark on?
Yep, just getting there. Just a moment.
Oh,
Just
okay, cool.
getting things organized. Gonna need to pull it up in a minute. Sorry for my. Oh, not late. That late.
No,
Okay.
you're not.
That.
I like your hair, Mark.
That's thank you very much. That's my rage avatar. No, not a rage avatar, just a disgust avatar. There we go. That's more of a disgusted face, right? No, it's an appalled face. Yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing face. Yeah, that's about how I'm feeling. So, hello, Richard, Valerie, and Irma, and Chuck. We have you all, and
And
looks like
Bill
I
is
found
too.
out, so that must be Bill. Let me
Bill,
rename.
yeah.
Hi, guys.
And Derek and Ken are excused.
I ask who's calling from 628?
Hey, Mark, everyone. It's John Ainsley. I don't have audio on my computer, so I just call in and watch you all on my computer screen.
Rename you. Okay, so if Derek and Ken are excused, let's see what we got here for quorum. We have one co-chair, we have one community engagement chair, we have one council, we have two, both council affairs folk, and we have no membership. Although we actually give them a pass because Cesar can almost never make this and honestly, Elaine, a lot of times has connectivity issues. So I think we can go ahead and
And
consider
star.
this, especially since we have Paul here as an at-large in his car. At-large
Okay.
in his car.
Hey, just I'm driving, folks. I'm a wee bit distracted or something, so I might not be able to respond immediately. Gotta get my daughter to soccer. So I'm gonna kill the video in case you guys think it's too weird with all my movement. But I will be in audio.
All right. So, do you want us to give you ample warning when your name is up to talk?
Sure, that would help. Thanks.
Okay. So,
Introductions?
introductions. Okay. So, welcome everyone. Today is Thursday, May 20th. We're already in May, almost over the month. So let's do introductions. Why don't we start with Chuck?
Hi, I'm Chuck, Council Affairs co-chair.
Mark?
Mark Molnar, Council Staff.
David?
David Gonzalez, Council co-chair.
Paul?
Paul Harkin, member or something.
John?
John Ainsley, HHS. There's a quick little announcement. I do have to head out at 4 o'clock today.
Cool. Richard?
Richard Sullivan, Community Engagement Co-Chair. Derek Mapp won't be here today.
Valerie?
Valerie Etiquette, Council Staff.
Thomas?
Thomas Noble, Government Co-Chair. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Bill?
Hi, Bill Bloom, HIV Health Services.
And myself, Irma Parada, co-chair and council member. I believe we're going to review and approve May 20th, 21 draft agenda, and we will be voting to approve it.
I just wanted to point out that I rearranged what you normally do because I actually have to leave at 4 o'clock, and I thought it was important that I be here for at least the first hour's discussion. That's why you're being a bit of a switch.
So does anyone have any comments or changes to the agenda? So I guess we can assume that it's approved by consensus.
Well, I think because Paul is having challenges, not challenges, but Paul is driving, we might want to rearrange the agenda just slightly and put Paul's motion coming up like at number 6 instead.
Okay. Is that okay, Paul?
Sure. That's great. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So is that the only change we have?
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good, Irma. Thank you.
And so... So next is review and approved April 22nd draft minutes from the steering meeting.
Right, so we see here basically pro forma through items 7, and then in 8 we have the ETE presentation Wait, is this March? I should be looking at April. Oh no, I brought the wrong one. I'm so sorry. Please bear with me while I find the April.
But we do have it on the, it's on the meeting announcement from Valerie.
Well, if folks had a chance to review that, I mean, you can just ask if there were any changes to that.
Are there any changes? I don't have it up, but I can pull it up. I personally don't have changes. I don't know if any other council members have any changes.
No changes here.
Perfect. We're pretty quiet today. Okay.
There's been something in the air since the blue hair came on. It shook us up.
All right. So I guess, Mark, we should, that means that we are approving the draft minutes by consensus. Any announcements? Come on, any announcements? All right, no announcements. Public comment, do we have anyone from the public joining us? All right, no public meeting. So we're switching Paul, right? Yeah, okay, Paul.
Us to consider an idea as a to move to support something. No spoilers, Paul.
Yeah. Am I? You want me to talk now?
Please.
Yeah.
Paul.
If you could just introduce what you want.
I'm asking for the full council to support the introduction of a part of a sort of drug user health initiative that's currently it's being called, actually ridiculously being called, a sobering center. Clearly Mayor London Reed needs more education around harm reduction, and I would love that to happen, but so it's basically, we're still in search of a name. And the intervention is a low barrier intervention for people who are under the influence of substances, particularly looking at, it came from the methamphetamine task force as a number one recommendation. And the idea is low barrier, people can come into the center. It's got 20 beds for overnight stays. And there's going to be showers, laundry, some snacks, and counselors and EMTs to make sure that people are medically safe, and we're going to try and, you know, engage folks in other services and be a bridge to other community services, from like getting you know, shelter beds or housing, substance use treatment, etc. Obviously, HealthRate have the ability to take people into our treatment program, so that's a very direct referral. But we're looking to partner with multiple agencies and just really, you know, not be just a one night stop and shower spot, but be a, you know, an authentic linkage to people to other services. So, you know, we're looking at mostly going to be unhoused people using methamphetamine and other substances, fentanyl, you know, people using, you know, poly drug users, you know, might reduce overdoses with this intervention. And you know, we'll be educating people, giving them Narcan, making sure obviously nobody dies in our care. And, you know, I think it's a much needed service. It was much needed a year ago when it was initially proposed to open at 180 Jones, but then COVID came, and you know, that site got utilized for COVID. Now this time we're getting a brick and mortar building, and it's going to be on Howard, and you know, it's a pretty sizable location due to COVID and having to have beds spread out. It may go up to 30 beds once we get out of the COVID directives for social spacing inside the service center. You know, EMS-6 will be bringing people there. We don't want law enforcement dropping people there, because we're running a trauma-informed program and we don't need law enforcement arriving at the door uniformed and armed. So we want, you know, EMS-6 to bring people, and we you know, we can also allow walk-ins so people can be, you know, be escorted by friends or whatever. And it's a pilot. It's going to run for 18 months, and we'll be recording as much data as we can without interrupting the provision of services, because that's the priority. And we're hoping that we can show this is a successful intervention in helping people who are in a bad place. You know, it's not, we're looking at people who are in, you know, before things escalate, you know, so before they get into situations where they could be harmed, like law enforcement, who have been known to kill somebody in 20 seconds upon arriving in this city more than once. So this, you know, that's why we want EM6. We're also working with SOMA ambassadors who go around in the community, and they can refer people. So we're looking at a sort of, you know, alternative to policing people who are on the streets under the influence of substances and maybe in mild to moderate crises, but not like full-blown where they would need psych emergency. And that's quite a lot of people, as you can imagine. I could probably walk around the Tenderloin and the lip of SOMA in 2 hours and get 20 people that need that service on any given day. So, you know, and that will also probably mean it won't be as visually impactful, but, you know, because there'll still be a lot of people on the streets that need support and there won't be capacity. But, you know, we've got to start somewhere, and I'll take 20 for now and hopefully execute the program in the manner that we're envisioning, and it will be a success. And I would love if the council could just endorse this as a low barrier intervention. You know, we know that unhoused folks, there's a lot of LGBTQ disproportionately unhoused. We know that there's a lot of LGBTQ gender non-conforming individuals who use methamphetamine. We know that they can have bad outcomes when they run into law enforcement. I mean, instead of people ending up in jail or in psych emergency, they could end up in a centre that's more equipped to deal with where their crisis is actually at, meeting them where they're at, being a compassionate, trauma-informed harm reduction programme, and helping people get back on track. So that's the ask. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So, Paul, is that a motion on the floor to support the, for now, called Drug Sobering Center?
That is indeed a motion on the floor to support the introduction scheduled currently for October, so we're quite ahead of the curve, for the currently named Drug Sobering Center.
Is there a second
by Health
to that?
Rate 360?
Is it? Oh, if it's run by your agency, you might actually.
Maybe I should. Yeah.
Would anyone like to move to support what Harkin just discussed? Please verbally say you would if you were interested.
I would like to move to support what Paul just brought up.
Is there
a
second?
Can you propose the motion? Does he need to propose the motion? Yeah.
And David seconded. Okay, great. The motion's on the floor and open for discussion.
Can I ask? There.
5 minutes.
So
see ya.
Dad, we're supposed to be there.
I've got kids on the other line.
I heard that.
Yeah.
What does support mean?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure. I would.
Okay.
I figured, you know, like we are a, you know, a community Department of Public Health partnership. Obviously, the Department of Public Health is a part of this program. So, and Dr. Colfax is front and center of the intervention, supporting it. So I just think it would be a good, it'd be good for the community group to endorse this as an intervention, because it is a pilot, and we're going to need more programs like this that are low barrier and that are directly dealing with people who are currently unhoused and need support services that they're not getting.
Paul, where does this currently stand? Is this in front of the mayor, or is it up and ready to go? Do you have a site? What's the situation?
Yeah, we have a site. We've got a couple more community meetings. We have to get through the budget, the supervisor budget hearing, the health commission and the supervisors. But, you know, all the supervisors are on board. You know, Mandelman proposed this. Haney, who's in his district, he backed it, and the mayor has called for it through her task force. So, it's pretty well supported, but, you know, I think it would be a good community statement from the council to also endorse it.
David has a question. Go ahead, David.
Oh, no, I don't have a question. My own thing is just like, I think for these matters of support, is it a letter that we're like, hey, this actually affects the work in the community that we serve, specifically around, prevention and also like getting folks who are at risk for complications due to their HIV to get support right around their substance use, blah, blah, blah. So I think we can definitely frame it in the work that we do specifically for any of the epidemics. And so I think at this point, it's just a letter of saying like, hey, as part of our mission and part of our council business, you know, also our members were a part of this task force. We want to support the work that, I mean, the product of the work that we've been doing for several years.
If I can respond to that for a moment, it looks like Bill has his hand up as well. I'm not sure a letter of support is actually what is required or useful right now. It might, because like if this was an initiative that required that support, certainly the co-chairs could put together a quick letter. I think it's, if anything, it's more like just a show of support, but also the ability for this group to include the planning council on any materials that lists groups and individuals in favor of this, if that makes sense.
Great.
Yeah.
Looks like,
I mean,
like Bill
we could do some of that as well, like give you the names of all the other organizations that support it.
Bill, you want to go?
Yeah, just to say, we're BPH is in partnership with this, so I should, in a way, disclose. We are certainly very supportive of it. It was going to really help because our sobering center is really designed for primarily alcohol, but to a second extent, heroin. It's not designed for methamphetamine and a different set of needs and support. And yes, I think Mark summed it up very well. you know, I think at this point it helps folks that are advocating show that extensive community outreach has been done and it's just widely supported by a wide base of groups. So I think as other people have said, that a motion be approved so Paul can take that back and share and it can be reflected in the minutes.
Here, I'm here.
Any other comment? I guess we're ready to vote.
Yeah, you could just do by consensus to ask if there's any objections to
Are there any objections to the motion on the floor? All right, so it's been approved by consensus. Good job.
It will now go to the full council. Thank you, Paul, for a full vote.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Valerie, just a quick note. It looks like Elaine did join us, so you can act. Oh, Elaine is there. Okay, yes. Hi, yeah. Elaine.
So moving forward, meeting evaluation, Mark.
Alrighty, and what we have here, the new, I don't know if I'm gonna be doing this again. I do like the report. I do like the fact that with Survey Sparrow, numbers were higher. Oopsie. The numbers were higher for sure. And I got this Excel report, which I'm not sure is easier to navigate or not, but I'm not sure. I'm still weighing if I want to go back to SurveyMonkey or not and just bite the bullet and pay for it. My free time's up. Anyway, first question. Information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting. 15 said yes, they agree. 1 said they somewhat agree. Second question. The meeting was run efficiently by David Gonzalez. 100% agreed. The agenda was well planned. 15 said that they agreed and 1 said that they somewhat agreed. The housing update from Manuel Vasquez was well prepared and relevant. 15 agreed, 1 somewhat agreed. Let's see. The presentation from Angel was prepared and relevant. Not, this was more divisive, clearly. 9 said that they agreed. 5 said that they somewhat agreed. Oh, somewhat disagreed. That's incorrect. It was, I somewhat agree. Not I somewhat disagree. I promise you, I'm not making that up. HCAP annual report, everyone agreed. That it was well prepared and relevant. 1 person did not answer. All right, let's take a look at this here. What worked well for you during this meeting and what could have been improved? Lots of presentations, but they were properly spaced. Dave moved the meeting along nicely. It seemed like we got behind, and I guess contrastingly, it seemed like we got behind and had to rush through different sections. Not sure if this was due to a packed agenda, speaker lateness, council member questions, etc. Also contrastingly, everything ran smoothly. For more contrast, our next one says back-to-back presentations are difficult in terms of keeping my attention and engaging the group. It feels rushed and there is not ample time for questions. Next one comment was the presentations and facilitation were great. I really appreciate Ms. Billy's fierce advocacy for trans women and people of color. And then finally, David's facilitation was excellent as usual. Very nice. Please share your thoughts on any of the meeting presentations. I mean, clearly some already did. The MOHCD report was great to finally get some info from the office itself. I can see using the secret client method overseas, but not sure about its use in San Francisco. I am reticent to accept the secret shopping model as I fear it is more gold at accountability as opposed to problem solving. The next one, the ETE presentation seemed a little off topic, even though I know why we are having them. Presentations were well organized and easy to follow. Information was useful. Kudos to Stephen and the HCAP report. All were relevant, interesting and well presented. And finally, they were all great. Secret client model is very interesting. Looking forward to discussing next month. Stephen with HCAP is always excellent. So dedicated. His report was great. And then our next question, please share your thoughts and suggestions about the virtual meetings that have been taking place. Are your needs being met? How can we better support you? The virtual meetings work well and I appreciate them. Contrastingly, I still like in-person better than Zoom. Yes, needs are being met. Yes, my needs are being met. My needs are met! Exclamation point. Virtual meetings have been going well. I look forward to in-person meetings. I hope when in-person meetings resume that virtual meetings will still be an option. That would require, of course, changing certain aspects of the law. Needs are being met, thanks. No comment. More opportunities for small group discussions. Agenda could be more reasonable. Next comment was, large virtual meetings are hard for robust discussion. I have a lot of distractions in my home and sometimes stop my video, but I know that this contributes to the feeling that I'm not that engaged. I wonder if we could discuss future plans to resume in-person meetings at the next full council or in committees. Needs are being met, but looking forward to returning to in-person meetings in the fall, or sooner, And then finally, question 10, please rate this meeting on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being excellent. One person marked it a 3, four people marked it a 4, and 11 people marked it a 5, which gives us our total out of 5, somewhat different than the SurveyMonkey methodology. We're not using monkey methodology, we're using sparrow methodology, and therefore the number is smaller. 4.35, one of our lower ratings of our virtual meetings.
Is that the equivalent to 10 or what, or to 9 point something, or or to 93, you know what I mean? Like, what's the equivalent?
A 4.35 on a 10 point scale would be 8.7.
Oh.
So we usually get 9 something, right? So it is lower.
Yeah.
You know, raise to the 9s. But it sounds like, I mean, there were folks who just didn't like the agenda, of course, but there were quite a few folks who did not particularly appreciate the ETE presentation this time around. Which is foreboding, since we'll be breaking out into small groups to discuss what that presentation was about and its potential application here in San Francisco. Or maybe we already know how that discussion will go.
Interesting.
Yep. Any other thoughts on the evaluation?
That program was Excel?
Yes. Wow, Grandpa. I was the person not used to technology in this meeting.
Just as a side note, I'm starting, as you know, to sit in on these ETE meetings for the council, and that's basically what this is all about, is ending epidemics. I don't see how people can't be into like that theme and how it applies. I don't know. We'll talk more, but ending the epidemic seems to be what this is all about.
Yeah, but I think though, Richard, I want to acknowledge that David has a hand up, so sorry to jump in, but to respond to what you're saying, Richard, I think it's less about people pushing back on ending the epidemics and people pushing back on, do we want to use this secret client methodology here in San Francisco? David?
Oh, yeah, it's two things. I think splitting up that conversation about the secret client thing and just ending epidemics, and I, you know, part of that whole sort of not just, I don't want to call it the RFP, but I think part of that whole sort of like work moving forward is really based on, you know, there's a whole thing of like disruptive, innovative, whatever, you know, strategies and methods. And I think that's a very disruptive, you know, strategy and method, you know, it really is. And I think it's good for us to look at them and seeing like, hey, we're very complacent in what we do, and what we do is really, really, really good. And so it's always good to be able to phrase it in that, or look at it in that lens. And I think moving forward with that conversation, we can always you know, remind the council that this is what we signed up for, which is why they were funded. And then secondly, you know, with that conversation, we split that conversation up in two different meetings because we could have had a conversation about it, but instead we're like, hey, you know what, we're gonna have small groups next time, which I actually prefer, but it does require people to keep the attention of that topic over the course of a month. So we'll see how the next meeting pans out. If it isn't as productive as we want it or expect it to be or want it to be or productive or renders something that we can actually use as much, then I'm like, fine, we experimented. Hey, this is the first time we're all doing everything on Zoom. So I think that's okay. And then the last thing is, it's been coming up slowly and we talked about it very briefly at the council affairs meeting, basically just like, hey, you know what? You know, we're going to have to start having that conversation of meeting together as a group, but since there's no guidance from local government, it's like, what's the point of actually getting to that conversation? But at the same time, we want to honor and respect people's sort of like, you know, questions about it and sort of like, you know, their, you know, the push that is happening to say like, you know, what about smaller meetings, you know, smaller committee meetings. So I think that's something that we can reiterate moving forward as well.
Thank you, David, for that. Oh, Bill, your hand is up.
Yes, I just wanted to, just in terms of the last comment, appreciate there is a lack of guidance coupled with a real wanting to involve and empower the Planning Council. The guidance would come from a federal level, and it is notable that the lack of specificity and or the exact role of the Planning Council. So I appreciate the good side is it leaves us lots of opportunity to be creative. And what I would say is we are very much listening to what's being said. So although there's not like a prioritization and allocation, I wouldn't want people to feel like it was just an exercise of wasting time. So if it's feeling that way, then we should talk more about how the information goes back and informs the steering committee and the work we do at DPH.
Thank you, Bill, for that. Let me just double check that no one else have any comments. So I think we can move to the next item unless anyone else has any thoughts. So I think next is full council agenda, and we are going to review the agenda for the April 26th full council meeting.
That should be on your screen now.
I believe it's May, right? We're talking, or is it?
Incorrect there? Yeah. May.
Okay, because on the agenda it says April 26th, but it's May 26th.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So we see here our regular stuff, 1 through 6. Fortunately, a little bit less of a rush for number 6, general updates. So we're able to give 20 minutes this time rather than the 15 that we've been given the last couple meetings because packed agendas. And we're giving a nice amount of time for this drug user help presentation featuring 4 of our colleagues in CHEP. I need to change this right now. It's not from the mayor's office. CHEP. Thomas, all 4 of those folks specifically work for CHEP, correct? No?
Yes. Sorry, my eye was tracking. Yeah, we're all in CHEP.
I should have just read them to you. That was wrong of me. And then after that 45 minutes, looks like we have a 5-minute break, which is good because I'll need that to actually put the small groups together. And then that'll be a shorter group. It's only really one topic. What do you think about that secret client model? During the break, I will throw up a slide or two to remind people about what the secret client model is. Valerie, I'm going to ask that you actually, when you send out this agenda, that you actually send out that presentation again as a reminder. So they'll just have it again. And then we'll actually come back. It won't be the end of the meeting after that 15 minutes. We'll come back and debrief. And so hopefully the groups will pick someone to be able to present thoughts. And we'll give that 10 minutes. And then finally, we'll have our vote on the motion that was just put forward at today's meeting. Hopefully it will feel like a less rush meeting, because literally only one presentation and given a lot of time. Any questions before I stop share?
Mark, if anything, I would pull, I'd pull my name off of the drug users health list.
Oh, you're not presenting?
I'm not presenting. So I'm think two people are, so I'll ask Eileen. I think they were a little nervous that they would get too many people in the mix. But I'll confirm that.
Okay. She had, Hannah had shared a presentation, but it looked like it had all four of your names. But I know at the very least that Hannah and Eileen were planning on doing that. Should I take Katie off too?
Let me confirm via text right now.
Okay. Well, just let me know. And then Valerie, I'll forward that to you if you could let me know by 4:30, Thomas, so I can forward to Valerie to distribute. And I also will want to send that to the group myself separately. So let me know, Thomas. Thanks. And if you don't find out till after I've left this meeting at 4, just text me, please. Bill, did you have a question about the agenda?
Yes, sorry for the delay there. Did Lara Brooks approach you about asking to give an update about San Francisco AIDS Foundation and the changes in the budget?
Nope.
Okay, maybe next month she might reach out to you.
Okay, yeah.
So should we proceed with number 8?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, after you. I'll just do a quick framing after reacting to you.
Right, so number 8, we are gonna be discussing the return from remote meetings. And it's just a discussion, nothing else.
So this is a discussion that will also take place across the committees. I'm gonna want it to be in the agenda for all three committees to make their own determinations. We're not at the place yet where we can say with all confidence that we are ready to return 100%, right? So with that said, I do want steering to know that the three committees should be empowered to have their own discussion. And so if you all can discuss what you as steering want to do for this meeting, and also what your thoughts on what you think should happen with the full council, and Bill himself may or may not have an update on what the DPH or city's perspective is on these sorts of public policy body meetings. Bill, do you have that update?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the first part of that, Mark. Could you repeat?
Sure. The first part was that this is a discussion, as Irma outlined, that is not necessarily coming to a decision right now. The discussion will take place actually across all committees, because all three committees and work group and plus home steering committee should be empowered to make their own decisions. So this will be on the agenda for membership, council affairs, community engagement. It'll probably be discussed via email amongst the PLWH advocacy group members, and it should be discussed here for steering members. So this discussion that Irma introduced is about what you all feel this particular group should do, and what you feel the full council should do, since you're the leadership group. And it can be informed by any updates you have, Bill, on the perspective of DPH and the city to in-person meetings of public policy bodies.
Okay. I don't have an update yet. I did reach out and didn't hear back, but I didn't actually pick that up again. So I will tomorrow reach out and see if they have more kind of guidance or kind of in terms of planning what the current thinking is. So I don't have an update at present. Mark, you have your angry face on the screen there.
So sorry, it's actually a look of disgust, but it's not about this meeting. I'm putting food in my mouth. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
So should we talk about how do we feel, or should we just wait until Bill can give us
have the conversation about how feedback. You feel about this group and about full council, even knowing that you're not voting on or anything, you're just now discussing.
Right, so we just
right.
So Mark,
I'm sorry to raise my hand, but now that I've started, didn't we have a discussion that it would be kind of a two-phased approach, that because of the size and just the distance you need for the social yep. distancing, that we would first look at the phased approach, maybe the committees where we had small enough committees where people could hear each other, and that we would kind of provide a dual option where people could call in. And then people who wanted to be there would be there, right? Is that, that's what I'm remembering from the last conversation. Is that right? Yeah. Or has there been additional conversation since?
Yeah, but I think that conversation actually happened in the co-chairs meeting, in which not everyone here okay. was a part. I'm hoping that you all.
Gotcha.
I hope
okay.
that you all
okay.
hear that just did, and hear people's thoughts on that. Of course, as far as okay. calling in, we can do that to a point.
Okay. Well, the other piece I can add is that for vaccinated people on June 15th, they're, you know, the requirement to wear masks indoors is going to be lifted. It'll probably be more details on it, but maybe that's just another, we'll have to look at the interpretation on that for meetings, but just that's another kind of data point or a moment in time that we should can kind of inform our process.
Absolutely. I think the discussion that we're going to have again on this next month during this very meeting will incorporate whatever guidance comes out.
Okay. It's due out on the 15th, so we can look at it then.
Looks like two
I
raised
see hands. David. I see David and Richard has hands. Why don't you go ahead, Richard?
Go ahead, David.
Richard, go ahead.
Okay. With that in mind, with what Bill just said about June, maybe some word coming down. Maybe, you know, as people start feeling more comfortable, everyone gets on board with vaccines. Maybe like August would be a good starting point to maybe get some of the smaller committees down to 25 Van Ness or wherever we move. Maybe community engagement or put out an invitation like in July, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing in August. We're going to have a meeting for this, you know, community gate, whatever it is, at 25 Van Ness, all are invited, you know, and maybe shoot for August. I think there'll be more official word out by then. People have a couple of months. I'm already walking around outside without a mask, riding my bike, doing things safely, but without a mask in public. And so a couple of months during the summer, I think August might be a good starting point to ease in with some of our engagement groups or some of our committee groups first and let people get their feet wet.
David, go
and
ahead.
Then, and then, so when we had this conversation in the co-chairs meeting, yeah, thanks Bill for that reminder. It was basically like, well, you know, we can start with the committees, and you know, I think there's still some questions about whether people can call in, and so we have to see sort of like what the Sunshine Laws and the Brown Act is going to look like moving past June 15th, because we can try to do you know, a double thing with people in person, people calling in. But I know the past couple of times we tried to do like a call-in sort of thing in. Because the idea is to have a large room, so it would probably be like the larger meeting space at 25 NS. I don't know what the capacity is for our technology and infrastructure in that meeting room to do those to do that things to do have like people in person and then have people calling in. So it's kind of sort of wait and see. I think the one thing that I would like to sort of like come back with council affairs, because you know, we're going to start at the council, I mean, that community meeting level, is just sort of like, you know, I want to take a temperature of the folks that that we do sort of see in our committees and be like, you know, what does everybody want to, where is everybody at in terms of their push to meet in person? And then also, you know, what is the capacity for people to be starting to meet in person right now? Because I think, you know, everyone kind of sort of shut down the amount of travel that we all do. And I don't know how many people have been traveling a lot. I know I have not been traveling on public transportation. And so it's one of those things that I want to make sure that I gauge the folks that we see on our individual smaller levels, and then sort of bring that back here to this body and see where we're at. But until we get that guidance from the government, and also in terms of Sunshine, and I don't want to table the conversation, but I also don't know how to move forward.
Thank you, David. Thomas, I see your hand up.
I just wanted to kind of, I think the actual meeting in person, we'll just cross that threshold when enough of us feel comfortable and making that happen, right? I do want to kind of keep access, though, for people who can't show up in person to watch the meeting. So what I have seen as a failure is when you have half and half. So you just can't run it. It's if we often think of when the state person would try to phone in, that kind of energy, that's the disaster. So I think if somebody's just watching us and doesn't have the expectation of voting or asking questions via the internet, that's fine. But just to put that out there with regards to, I tried to do a meeting that was half and half and it was painful. Nobody could hear and all that other stuff. So if that helps at all with kind of our thought process. Are you waving to me, Eileen?
Oh, always. Elaine?
Hey.
Yeah, but I do have a question though.
Oh, you tried to raise your hand.
Yeah, that
Sorry.
Was me.
Sorry, Eileen, I couldn't
so
see you.
Old school.
No, I was going to add to all that because we've been thinking about a lot of things over here on this side. A lot of us are anxious to get back together and really have deep conversations and get the work really done in person. But I've also been paying attention a lot to my community here, and they're anxious to remove the mask, but there are so many people here that are afraid of it still. So I don't know if it's of comfortable ability in our state and our councils is feeling the same way. I'm anxious to get back. I would like to get back in person. I know that David brought up the Sunshine Ordinance. If Mark remembers when my brother was in the hospital, he was going online through phone, but he could no longer do it because the Sunshine Ordinance didn't approve of that. And from what Thomas has said, it kind of ruffles meetings of people who want to be on phone or in person. It kind of sense like what's going on now, where it's like we feel like we're accomplishing something, but we're really not. It doesn't feel right. So I think when Bill having to find out what is the right movement of how we can get back into meetings, we would have to wait for that. I know here in Marin, we're still in the orange. You guys are in the yellow. So we're still in the orange. And I know that once we push what we need to push out and we get the okay to move forward, that's the first thing we're going to do is go right into the office and start meeting up in our meetings.
Thank you, Elaine. Bill, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to say, I think we're going to get guidance. And I think there's still going to be issues that all bodies are going to have to kind of feel where the comfort level is, because the vaccine is optional. And there are people that are either vaccine hesitant or not interested in the vaccine. So it doesn't, you know, I think the group also has to think, what does this mean? Almost like, you know, not completely dissimilar to HIV. You know, we don't know what we don't know. So I think this conversation is going to surface. And, you know, at this point, people do have a choice and people have lots of feelings on both sides. So we're also going to have to sort out, you know, the mask wearing piece of this. And you know, if, and the distance. So I think the distance has decreased to 3 feet. So I just want to put out, I'm thinking the guidance is going to be very helpful, but I think we'll as a group have to facilitate and wrestle some questions if and when we come back as a group.
Any other comments?
I would just a personal vote. Like, I think committee meetings would be great to remain virtual, and then full council meetings in person. So just to put that out there, considering I had to walk down 2 flights of stairs for each meeting, it was really inconvenient.
Not accepted. Suggestion not accepted.
I thought he was serious.
I think he was, kind of.
Oh, I was, yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay, good.
I mean, seriously, right? Committee meetings, smaller and like this, we can kind of interact with each other. We know who's engaged. But a full council meeting, it's just a different beast.
Yep.
Yeah, my joke was just, it should be up to the committees to determine. Some may agree, some may not. Some may be eager to return. Some may some may prefer it be virtual forever. I can't, obviously. Forever is a long time.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Very good conversation. I think we all have our personal feelings, and maybe we can start talking about it in our smaller groups as well. Okay. So next item on agenda is CHEP and HHS update. Is that Thomas and Bill?
Do you want to go first, or?
I do, but I have no better excuse than I completely forgot to have it ready for today. So I don't have it. I certainly plan to kind of cover similar things to what we've covered over the past months. There isn't kind of really big news about funding. So, and I guess the question I would have is, did you guys find the information about the COVID stuff interesting for inclusion, or does it feel like that's enough behind us that I could eliminate that?
Bill, they're probably trying to recollect specifically what you shared last meeting around COVID. But
sure,
I appreciated it, because then I didn't have to cover it. So.
Selfish motive. I honestly don't recollect. I'm really sorry, yeah, though. But I think
it was just a total number of folks in San Francisco, then information about the vaccination rates, and then eligibility. Those are the things I covered last month, which clearly made a deep impression on everyone. Yeah, yes. Okay, yeah. Well, then I'll include it.
All right, maybe you got your answer.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to do. It's not hard to do, so I'll include it. So it's finding the balance of what's interested versus too much. I will include it this month, and then folks can tell me if they want it ongoing.
Yeah, and on the CHEP side of the world, I would just say, so the DPH is going through, or the city as a whole is going through a line in the sand with regards to June 30th, July 1st, theoretically, a significant amount of people who have been activated, specifically the librarians in the state collective, you know, the people that weren't in public health will be returning to their work duties and no longer being involved in COVID specific activities. And if their work was essential to be continued, the city is actually backfilling the positions that they are doing in COVID until those positions are no longer essential to wrap things down. So in my specific world, in case investigation and contact tracing, things are shifting really relatively quickly just due to the dropping rates, which is kind of exciting and celebratory. And at the same time, caught us off guard with regards to, you know, we initially had a workforce of 15. We got it all the way up to 400. And now since we have 18 cases, we don't need 400 people. So we are quickly pivoting back the other direction, and we're solid. We're feeling almost solid that there was no surge possibility in the near future. So we're excited about that exactly. So a significant movement towards pre-COVID activities. I did do an HIV counselor training a few weeks ago in face-to-face, and that actually went really well. And so people were excited to be, it was just interesting to actually hold a training with live bodies and not do a virtual. So yeah. I will end there. Just there's any questions on any of that from folks?
No, cool. I don't see any questions. Thank you, Bill and Thomas, for those great updates. So now we're gonna, I guess we're gonna discuss the committee and work groups reports. Do we have someone from community engagement? Oh, it's Richard.
I'll have to leave in just a few moments and you'll be the sole host, Irma.
Okay.
Can we start with PLWH so I can, I guess, say.
Okay, go ahead, sure.
Sorry, Mark, before you get started, I sent in the chat that it's Eileen, Katie, and Hannah on.
Oh, I saw. Thank you, I appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, cool, yep.
I kept on the agenda and I just multitasked and sent them that agenda. And you. PLWH advocacy group determined that they would meet next month, whether they'll be meeting in person. If they do, they'll have to probably do that outdoors, which could be done, is for them to determine. And I assume that Dave will be connecting with them to see when that date is. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dave and wish you all a fond adieu.
Take care, Mark.
David, you're on. I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Double muted. Sorry. Now I was looking at my notes. So we talked about the drug user health presentation that's coming up for this council meeting. And as you heard, there's three presenters. So it's going to be focused on three topics. One is going to be the current work for overdose prevention. The other thing is going to be, of course, looking at sort of the work that's being done right now for the sobering center. And then I think the last one is going to be community work that Eileen has been doing. So there's that. And then conversation was about how to start having the conversation about meeting in person. And I think that's about it. It was a really short meeting, maybe half an hour max.
Thank you. Any questions for David or comments? Okay. So is someone reporting from community engagement? I thought that was Richard, but I could be wrong.
I'm here from community engagement.
Yes.
Yeah, same here. It was a very quick meeting, and thank you, Valerie, for reminding me of that. I asked Valerie for some notes, and I had the same thing. There was a public comment from Nick Van Groningen. He's from Optum Pharmacy, and once again, he said that he made an announcement. He's available to provide explanations for HIV-related medications and other medications, and he gave contact information for that. Stephen gave an HCAP report, which was excellent as always. Melina did a good, she provided Kohler and needs assessment updates, and the committee was kind of lively. They reviewed and there was a lot of feedback. Well, not a lot, but they shaped some of the questions that Melina had, and she took notes. And so there was a lot of shaping of different questions from the committee that was done. And from going forward from here, Melina and Valerie, they've begun to work with connecting providers for the COLAs. And that's about it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Richard, for that. Membership committee update.
I don't know who else was here. I had missed that meeting to work for funds at my other job, but.
Yeah, hi, Elaine, I can jump in. The membership meeting was canceled just due to a lot of excused LOAs. So membership did not meet this month.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
So I think we have come to an end of the meeting. We will see each other again on Monday. Thank you and have a great rest of the day and Friday and the weekend.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Take care. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
See you Monday.